Good morning. Welcome to Back Chat. I'm Hugh Chiverton, your co-host today, Ada Wong. Ada, good morning to you.
Good morning, Hugh.
Would you like $10,000? Should the financial secretary consider giving cash handouts or vouchers to the public in the upcoming budget? Politicians from all sides now have been calling for such handouts as a way to quickly stimulate the economy, as was done back in 2011. Regina Yip, back in July, suggested an $8,000 amount. And at the weekend, the financial secretary said, quote, the community has different expectations of cash handouts and the government will consider various factors in making a decision. We've heard the suggestion that even a smaller amount would be good because a handout from the government will make people happier. We have heard the views and we will consider it in totality along with other factors, unquote. Well, what do you think? Would you prefer receiving subsidies in rates or business registration fees, a tax cut or other indirect measures? How do you avoid giving money to people who don't need it and keep the process fast at the same time? How successful was the caring and sharing scheme aimed at the low paid and the scheme 6000 back in 2011? Let us know your take. You can leave a message on our Facebook page, Backchat on RTHK Radio 3. You can email backchat@rthk.hk or you can give us a call and our number is 233-88266, 233-88266. And after 9:20 we're talking about the new coronavirus from Wuhan as China confirms human to human transmission and a big increase in the number of confirmed cases. Joining us for our first discussion, we have David Webb, editor of website.com, a shareholder activist, and Chanyan Chong, who's an adjunct professor, the Department of Management Science at the City University. Got a few emails on different topics. There's one about smoking. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later in the programme, after 9 o'clock. They are mostly reacting to previous programmes and other issues. Philippe, responding to a discussion yesterday, and I think referring to Alan Leung, says, Mr. Leung alleges, without evidence, foreign funding as an important motivator for the protests. Mr. Leung, what are your own motivations for appearing on Backchat? Is your actual purpose to change minds and present new ideas, or is it merely to earn brownie points with your Beijing minders by attempting to build respectability for English speakers in the SAR? That comes from Philippe. And someone who signs themselves A. Norak says, to condemn or not to condemn? That was the question. How interesting that, again, when the question is put very plainly to a pan-democrat, now deemed a senior, this is in reference to Emily Lau, and a pillar of perpetual democratic struggle for Hong Kong, said senior cannot utter the simple word condemn as a descriptor for the violence that's been perpetrated. No, said senior immediately changes the subject and bleats police violence. And now the mists of time have obliterated whether the chicken or egg came first. Condemn, express complete disapproval of censure, quote, most leaders roundly condemned the attack, unquote. The violence has cost the territory of Hong Kong a huge amount of disruption and direct costs. Thus, they have cost every person in Hong Kong inconvenience, disruption, actual losses, and exposure to the risk to life and limb. One person has been murdered, another mutilated, many injured on both sides of the confrontation. The definition above is quite clear. So why will no one use the word condemn? That comes, as I say, from Anorak. Peter, I think your message about parking, maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. One says, hey, RTHK, I note that you use inverted commas for the words rioters in your news reports. And there's a link to a story that we had about petrol bombs being thrown on Sunday. And in the RTHK report, it says police say rioters threw 4 Molotov cocktails at the police station. And the word rioters is in inverted commas. One says, yet a government press release on the same criminal act clearing uses the word rioters without inverted commas. And there's a link to that. One says, RTHK needs to explain this intentional move. Your job is to report news, not to editorialise. It's obvious that RTHK staff intentionally apply their own judgment to the news contents. That comes from one. One, if I could just explain, we're actually doing the opposite of editorialising. We are reporting exactly what the police said. The police say they were rioters, so we report the word rioters. We don't use it. We report the fact that the police said that. It's obviously a very controversial word. In fact, it's one of the basis of one of the 5 demands you might have heard of. So we report what they said. The we report what other people say as well. That's kind of what our job is. It's not the job of the government to report other people, so we don't just repeat what the information services say. We report what they have said, and then we report what other people have said as well. So, as I say, we're not applying any judgment. We are simply reporting. That's what RTHK does in its news. And then we have comment sections, and we have discussion forums like this one, and that's what it's all about. David Webb, good morning to you.
Morning, Hugh.
Thanks for joining us today. What do you think of this idea for a cash handout? I see everyone's jumping in now. It started off with Regina Yip saying $8,000, and then I think Tommy Chung said $10,000, and now the Democrats are saying, yeah, give us $10,000.
Yes, I'm surprised they didn't up the bidding. I mean, you know, surely you're supposed to go higher, aren't you, to get attention for your potential election in September. That's what it's really about. It's fiscal madness. You shouldn't be throwing cash up in the air and spraying it around. But the government's already doing that, and so it's not surprising that political parties are seizing the opportunity to ask them to do more of it. Just the other day, they announced, for example, that anyone, rich or poor, of the age of 60 or above, is going to benefit from almost free transport at $2 per ride, including things like the Discovery Bay ferry that normally costs about $40. You know, if you spray money around and don't target the needy, then you'll have less money for the needy, for the welfare schemes that we need, and you'll deplete the reserves quite rapidly. Of course, the chief executive didn't just announce $10 billion of additional handouts and expenses, but $10 billion per year. So in the next 10 years, that'll cost $100 billion. And as the population ages, more people will qualify. In fact, already 79% of the executive council will be over 60 this year, if they're not already, according to my database. And 9 of them already qualify for non-means-tested fruit money at the age of 70 or above. So 9 out of 33. So it's what you need to do is conduct a root and branch examination of our tax system. And find ways to make the whole thing fairer and more efficient, and stimulate the economy by cutting tax rates. There's been no talk whatsoever about reducing the amount of money they take in, just more talk about spraying it around on the outputs. But they have had a structural surplus since the handover. They've stashed away well over $1 trillion Hong Kong dollars into the reserves. The total figure now, if you include the $740 billion in the exchange fund surplus, is around $1,800 billion, which is about $240,000 per citizen of the HKSAR. You know, talk about giving them $10,000 each barely scratches the surface of that.
David, I think the financial secretary said that it is unavoidable that Hong Kong will be in the red for this year and also probably for next year. So what are the better measures in your mind?
It's a temporary deficit, partly or well, largely of their own making. If they hadn't proposed the extradition bill in the first place, we wouldn't have had the economic crisis that's now impacting a lot of street-level businesses, retailers, restaurateurs and so on. But taking a step back from that and assuming that one way or the other that comes to an end, and my view is it's going to come to an end through a crackdown, what fiscal system should we be employing? And I think we can go to a 10% rate of profits tax and salaries tax, flat, with no tiered bandings, raise the personal allowances for individuals so that nobody pays more tax than before, but we abolish the 2%, 6% rates of tax, abolish the two-tiered profits tax system, which is just crazy, and abolish the... because nobody's deterred from setting up a business by the prospect of paying a profits tax. And also abolish the new R&D deduction, because everyone's now going to be arguing with Inland Revenue about whether their expenses are research and development and thereby qualifying for a subsidy from the government by cutting by giving them a deduction on top of that expense. We could abolish the first registration tax on vehicles introduce congestion pricing on the roads, because it doesn't matter whether you own a car. What matters is whether you drive it on the roads at certain times of day when we don't have enough space. You could privatise a lot of state-owned enterprises in Hong Kong. We do have them. We've got the NTR, which is still 78% owned by the government, and they said in 2000 that they would not reduce below 50% for 20 years. Well, hey presto, it's 2020. They can now sell all of it if they want free it up to set its own fares like they promised it would in the first place. You've got the Cyberport, another white elephant that could be sold off. You've got an ocean park that really ought to be shut down if people aren't willing to pay enough to go to cover its costs. I mean, you know, there's a huge piece of land there that could be auctioned off for redevelopment, and luxury high-rises would spring up and help fund our welfare budgets for years to come and so on.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, right. He will go forever.
Find me up and watch me go, yes.
Okay, Chen Yan Chong from City University, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Thank you for joining us today. What do you think of this idea of a cash handout? I guess the idea is to make people feel better and also to stimulate the economy, to encourage people to spend, and you could also give vouchers out. That was, I think, Tommy Chung's suggestion, which would be spent in Hong Kong.
Restaurant vouchers, of course.
Yeah, because it's his thing.
Yes, I think the whole world, all the government trying to make use of the money to make people to happy and in favors to them, especially the election. Not only Hong Kong, you look at the United States, why they have a tax cut and why they reduce interest rates. All this is for election. Everybody is doing the same thing. So that's a David just now say that, okay, coming September, there is an election. Although that Hong Kong government, the chief executive, is not voted by the majority of the people here, but at least they like to support some of the people to get into the legislative council. I think it's very natural that they're spending money. And about the budget, in the rate, I don't think it's important. The government accumulate quite a number of money and continue to accumulate money for what? So money is to spend it. So I think now is the right time to spend it. But if you say that that's something like 60 years old to get $2 for public transport is for a little small group of 9 people, then I don't think it is right thing to say that, because for those 9 people, I think they all have their own car, they have their driver. I don't think they need to use public transport.
Yes, it's 26 of the 33 members are 60 or over.
They won't use it. They won't use it.
Yeah,
they don't use it. So the purpose is not for themselves.
But I'm just demonstrating how many people will qualify. It's another 600,000 people.
For those who are 60 years old to 64 years old. And they will feel happy. I think...
Well, I woke up that day.
Feel happy. It's true that government doing everything is trying to get support. That is very true and very natural. So $10,000 or 60 years old to pay only $2 for public transport is make people happy. And it's a very natural thing that every government will do the same thing.
But
if you have the money to spend...
Dr. Chen, it's not very responsible, is it?
We need to target the needy in public welfare spending, don't we? If we pay $10,000 to every single person in Hong Kong, whether they need it or not, this is actually
nobody will say that, okay, I don't need it. If anyone who say I don't need it, simple, they can just donate the $10,000 out. Very simple, you see? If you say you don't need it, okay. Like for example, David is very rich, you know? So I think he don't need $10,000. He can donate the $10,000. So anybody get a 10,000, and for those who need it, just keep it. For those who don't need, and you just
yes, but you're reducing the spending power of the government by about $60 billion. I mean, it's going to cost. This has been done once before and widely criticised. The $6,000 handout scheme, which I think was when Henry Tang was chief secretary.
John Zhang
was it? John Zhang was financial secretary. And anyway, it was $36 billion out of the door, and lots of permanent residents who now live in Vancouver and places like that. Anyone who has a permanent ID card, enjoyed a $6,000 handout from the government. But it's not money well spent. And if we criticize white elephants like the bridge to Macau and the money we spent on that and the high-speed rail to Shenzhen, which cost $70 billion, then why do we want to throw away $60 billion
well, because
on
of those,
a short-term
because of those
not throw away. Giving away the money is not throw away.
Why don't we raise taxes so we can give away more? I mean, this is plain and simple redistribution of income if you're doing that. But wouldn't it be better to stimulate the economy by boasting that we have the lowest profits tax rate in Asia if we cut it to 10%?
There are many methods. Reduce the tax is one of the methods. But every method you use, and they will have some criticism. Like, for example, if you reduce the tax, and then somebody will say, I don't need to pay the tax. Reduce the tax is nothing to do with me. Reduce the tax is to helping rich men to get richer.
Here's another tax we could abolish. Stamp duty.
Rich men to get richer. So give away the money to everybody, someone who need it, someone who don't need it. Okay, who need it, fine. They will keep it. Loan it, fine. They can just loan it the money out. Many people also like to say that to give away the money, will spend a lot of administrative costs. And to me, I think the administrative cost is good. Administrative cost is also another kind of government spending. That means that what mean administrative cost? That means the government need to employ somebody to handle these matters, to give away the money. And government need to employ somebody to handle this matter mean the government spend more money. And government spend more money mean that more people earn the money. So it's good. Why not?
Well, it cost them. I think it cost them the so-called caring and sharing scheme, which was not really aimed at poor people, but those who don't have jobs or personal property. I know a lot of people who are quite well off and qualified for that, but that cost $300 million just to hand out. The administrative cost of it. Whereas that's your point.
So cost is good. Spend more administrative cost means more people.
Let's employ more people to hand out money. That's not exactly going to stimulate the economy, is it?
No, but these are short-term
money
jobs
earn
only.
The money from government spending on the administrative costs. Government spend $1 for administrative costs mean that one person earn $1. One more person earn $1.
Can we employ everybody to hand out money to everybody else? Would that solve the economy?
Yeah, it's good. That means that the total spending will be more than just 10,000 times 7 million. And that means the government will spend more than...
Well, it's not...
7 million...
I don't think this is great thinking. 10,000,
yeah.
You're suggesting perhaps we should divide the population into two and employ half of them to hand out the money to the other half and none of them needs to do any
that's
work.
That's good. That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Just like many, many years ago, last century, I think during 1930, one of the very famous economists, Keynes, British economist, then during the time I think that everybody know that there was a recession in the whole world. Then he said the government should print the money and spend the money. And people asked him how to spend the money. Then he said, ask 100 people to dig the hole. And then ask another 100 people to cover the hole. Simple. And then they're spending money. One body to spend to dig the hole and another person to
dig a hole to Antarctica.
So
keep people busy.
Dr. Chen, if the government has
to hand handing these methods to keep away. Okay, you ask me to give 10,000 to another
okay,
one.
Okay, so it's back to reality.
So
I mean, this is already funny.
And 10,000 to get another one, so I earn extra money. Why not?
If the government has this mindset, then our reserves will be depleted quite soon. While the city ages, we'll have older people.
The most important thing is, will the government have the money to spend? That's simple. No? If the government have the money, then spend it, why not? Spend until
so we
nobody,
don't need to save for the future.
Nobody will ask anymore. Yeah.
There's no need to save for the future.
No.
Well, governments around the world don't generally do that.
For the future. today is the saving from the past. Now, in the past, government had earning a lot of money and keep on accumulating the money. And they, in the past, they save for the future. And that's what the future in the past today.
I mean, it's money from the public, and it's just being now returned to the public. I mean, David Webb, I'm surprised you don't support this, because the government coffers are absolutely bursting, and the proposal is simply to give it back to the people of Hong Kong.
Not give it back to the people who overpaid
it's
it.
It's nothing like
it?
A white elephant, because the white elephant doesn't benefit
shouldn't
anyone.
We consider...
This is an obvious
yes,
benefit
but to, whom?
To everyone.
If you want to just
to
give
everyone.
Away the money, I'll take
to
it,
everyone.
Thank you. I'll take all of it. Just give it. Write me a cheque for $1.8 trillion. But shouldn't you question who to whom are we returning the hoarded
You're
money?
You're always complaining about the You've government hoarded... picking winners. Well, the government shouldn't pick losers either. The government
why
should
not,
just simply...
Why not be honest about the fact that
don't
they've
you just
over...
return it to the people of Hong Kong, which is, it's their money, give it back to them.
No, it was stolen by a mechanism known as taxation, by overcharging people who were carrying out their businesses, earning their salaries and paying stamp duty on properties that they didn't need to pay, and so forth. Why don't we abolish stamp duty, for example? That would make it much easier for people to change homes when they get a new job halfway across the territory. They wouldn't have any penalty for selling their flat within 3 years. Do we still need those kinds of cooling measures? Why is it that we charge people more than a year's rent in stamp duty just for
these,
a normal purchase?
David, all of these things you can do, but you can also return the money. And you can
that is returning the money by the running a deficit.
Of course, the greatest advantage of this kind of scheme is that you can do it fast, that you don't have the drawbacks, you don't have the slow speed, you don't have the high administration.
No, I'll tell you what's fast.
That you just had with the caring and sharing scheme.
Pass a bill to drop the tax rates. You don't need any new administration, no new employees. You still have the Inland Revenue Department to collect the existing tax,
well,
but you just cut the rate from 16.5% to 10%.
If you're worried about favouring the rich, then dropping a tax rate will do nothing but favour the rich.
Not at all. It favours the hard-working people of Hong Kong in their businesses, large or small, in their salaries.
Well, half of them don't pay tax.
Well, if you pay salaries tax... and if you might be,
well, yes,
you have a job, then you would prefer a lower rate of tax, wouldn't
3
you?
3 million people applied to the caring and sharing scheme on the basis that they don't pay tax. That's almost half the
yes,
population.
Yes, it's a crazy scheme.
Well,
I mean, as I said, it wasn't
what I'm saying
sensible.
Is that there are huge amounts of people who don't pay tax, and that if you introduce what you said to a tax cut, that doesn't benefit...
So they didn't contribute to the surplus in the
there
first place.
There are 3 million people who would miss out on that. If you give away cash, then those 3 million people and every other single permanent resident of Hong Kong is happy.
No, they would be happy because it would stimulate the economy.
I welcome.
If you're currently,
I welcome tech cuts, and I would be happy. And I think the government can do many things. Not just only giving away the money can have tech cuts, but what I mean that the government have money and just spend it. If you talk about the stamp duty, I think stamp duty is not for collecting more money. Stamp duty is trying to control the property price.
Well, it didn't. It completely failed in that respect.
Without the stamp duty, property price will rise much higher.
If it's not for collecting money, then it's not
it's
a legitimate
not
tax.
Money.
It breaches the basic law by taking people's
it's
money.
To control the property price.
Cooling measures didn't work, did they? The property price kept on going up.
Yeah.
Well, he said it would be worse without.
So they say, but it's a transaction tax.
Less and less people from mainland China to buy property in Hong Kong.
It discouraged professionals coming to Hong Kong because they couldn't buy a home for 7 years.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got quite a few emails and comments as well, which we'll get to after the news at 9. We're gonna break for a moment now. We're talking about the idea of a cash handout. The financial secretary, I've got to say, he's a little bit equivocal at the weekend. He did say, we've heard the views, we will consider. We've also heard the suggestion that even a smaller amount would be good. So maybe there's something in the pipeline. We will see. We're also going to be talking about worrying news about that new coronavirus from Wuhan. Share your thoughts. Give us a call, 233-882-866. The weather mainly cloudy, sun intervals during the day, 19 degrees at the moment, and the relative humidity is at 81%. Back in 3 minutes' time. Welcome back. This is Bank Chat on a Tuesday morning with Ada Wong and me, Hugh Tiverton. We're mulling over the idea of a cash handout to people in Hong Kong, either in the form of cash or vouchers. That's also been a suggestion from the political parties. The New People's Party, the Liberal Party, now the Democrats as well, have come up with this idea, which the financial secretary is said to be considering, weighing up ahead of his budget next month, and also considering the idea. We have with us now Chanyan Chong, an adjunct professor in the Department of Management Science at City University, and David Webb, an editor of website.com, a shareholder activist. That's website with two B's. And later we're also going to be talking about developments with the new coronavirus from Wuhan, with those confirmed cases around the world. And as we just heard there in the news, another death reported. Just before we've got lots of emails, bankchat@rthk.hk, and comments on our Facebook page, and also you're very welcome to give us a call directly, 233-88266. Just before we get to the comments on today's discussion, just as mentioned, a couple of other issues. Peter T. says, this is on inadequacy in policing. Kennedy Town is heading for serious road fatalities as its two major thoroughfares are throttled by illegally parked vehicles. The drivers feel no urge to respect the legitimate rights of other road users, public transport, pedestrians and emergency vehicles. It's beyond high time that police took necessary action to remove the danger. This is crucial on Catchick Street, the only easterly bound route carrying the bulk of traffic bound for Central Kowloon and all parts beyond. Up and down tram tracks on this narrow highway complicate heavy bus traffic from westernmost bus terminus on the island, especially where pedestrian islands for easterly bound trams squeeze vehicular traffic into a narrow single lane. Twice in 1 week I've personally witnessed nil tragedy outside the site in question, and valuing my life for a few more years have forsaken the useful tram service from this point. The arrogance of private car drivers, which seems to worsen steeply but conversely with the expense of the car, leaves me with no confidence of a change for the good. Age has taught me not to hold my breath while waiting for remedial action from our government, but as a good citizen, I must give them a chance, so I will forward this to police and transport departments. Finally, I look to fellow Backchat listeners to suggest alternatives to avoiding the seemingly inevitable bad consequences. That comes from Peter T. Also out on the streets, Alan says, hello, speaking about air quality, why is smoking allowed on the streets? Young children and non-smokers have to put and suffer health issues from the far too many smokers all over the streets, and if you're walking behind them, bad luck to you. Take examples from Japan and Korea, put smokers in a box and let them kill themselves, not everyone else, especially young, innocent children. That comes from Alan. Okay, comment on our Facebook page. On a few issues, and I won't kind of go into the to and fro, the discussion, but of course you're welcome to do that. And if you do put something on the Facebook page, and everyone else can see it, and I'm not going to mangle it, and it's there, and it can be responded to directly, and so on. Anyway, Tom there says, on the topic discussed yesterday, I felt it would be good to get at some point to get an update on how the legal system is handling protest-related violence. Right now, it appears that protesters are almost universally released in 48 hours, with the penalty for rioting of 10 years, too draconian, to be a useful sentence. I would think for many secondary school students, 48 hours in jail might almost be a badge of honour for them amongst their peers. Is the legal system working properly at giving appropriate penalties for those who violently assault street cleaners or other individuals they seem to be having conflict with in weekly confrontations? That comes from Tom. As I say, there's further discussion, but I do like Tom's other comment. He's talking to another person. He says, from the letters they read out on Backchat, you can say anything and it's still okay. Go for it. Okay, back on today's topic. TC says, if this is the government's way to buy an end to the protests and or public support, then I find it rather insulting. Apparently the government believes that the lives of Hong Kongers are worth about $10,000. Well before the anti-extradition movement, I'd been arguing for a handout of $8,000 to $10,000 for every permanent resident. The problem with specific relief measures in last decade's budgets is that they were too specific. It created a group called the End Nothings. For example, myself, who don't pay any income tax, don't pay rates, don't live in public housing estates, aren't receiving fruit money, hence would benefit from none of these measures. Many of the poorest in Hong Kong belong to the End Nothings, so these relief measures never reach the ones the government intended to help. Most importantly, what constitutes needing economic assistance is very subjective, which will never reach a consensus. There's nothing less controversial than giving out money to everyone with a permanent ID card. On an unrelated note, I can understand why Macau is willing to hand out cash on an annual basis. Its money comes too easily. Macau's government will always have income so long as tourists gamble in its casinos. Marcus on Facebook says, political incorrect opinion, pensioners and aid recipients shouldn't get additional money. Our government has lost trust. Better to distribute the cash to non-pensioners, non-aid takers. Joe Average says, it's about time these government officials got themselves out on the street and find out exactly what the poor need the money for. We need to pay electricity bills, water bills, school books, transport. We haven't even got round to food yet. You might have noticed supermarkets have all put their prices up. And hospitals. 10,000 would be handy, 20,000 would be better. Majority of people are living to their full income budget, so to relieve the stress, that would be very nice. Many people in Hong Kong are too busy working to have a holiday, but the hotels are too expensive. Many people would like to get their kids to Ocean Park, but it's too expensive. A fool and his money are easily parted. Just look at the Hong Kong government. And Mike says, conflict of interest. Could all speakers declare the advantages their suggestions would on their own bank account if introduced? Yeah, I don't think so. That comes from Mike. Andrew says, While our government seems to have a long-running and structural deficit in ideas, Mr. Webb appears to be running a surplus. That's you, David Webb. I don't agree with all of his proposals, but it's nice to hear some interesting ideas that don't involve us putting on artificial islands in the middle of the sea, building bridges to nowhere, or allowing somewhere with a 99% conviction rate to determine whether we did it or not. And Alan says, dear Backchat, if there's going to be a handout, just give every citizen $10,000. Trying to do a means test would take months and cost more than it would save, considering that most of the rich have their assets hidden away and would qualify anyway, while the hassles and paperwork would deter many of the truly poor. Rebates on various charges help those who are already well above the poverty line. If you are renting a divided flat, the landlord will take away any rebates for electricity rates, etc., and just pocket them. The tenants won't see a cent. Of course, it's not a way to do anything to restructure the economy, which is what we really need. I find David Webb's skewering of the sorts of business and government very valid, but his prescriptions for reorganizing the economy, privatize everything, lower flat taxes, are pure libertarian and will do nothing to help the poor. He just sneered at progressive taxes as being income redistribution. Yes, and that is a good thing when the rich just keep getting richer. The purpose of government is the welfare of society as a whole, not simply to maximize GDP regardless of the misery of half the population. That thought comes from Alan. Chen Yang Chong and David Webb are with us. David Webb, do you want to respond to that last comment?
Sure, yes. I mean, free markets and liberty are what generates prosperity, which allows us to look after the needy, the less fortunate in life. I've always supported the idea that we should do more for the very poor in Hong Kong and have a better social safety net. I think that net needs to be raised to a higher level. But if you spray the money around giving us $10,000 each, which is a number plucked out of thin air and probably just based on the fact that we count in base 10, if we counted in binary, it would probably be 8,192. Instead, just focus on that welfare where it's needed, and that allows you to stimulate the economy and generate more of that prosperity to pay for it. You don't need to collect as much tax as they have. You don't need to be irrational about it and charge tax on the transfer of assets when no profit is generated. Quite often people are going to be losing money on their property when they sell it, given that prices are heading downwards? And why should there be a stamp duty on that transaction? You know, if we're more rational about it, more libertarian, we'll be a more prosperous place, and fewer people will need the welfare in the first place, and those that do will get it. So you could try the alternative, which is complete central planning. It's been tried for 30 years from 1949 onwards in China, and for a longer period in the USSR. And in a few other places, it doesn't work. The government doesn't know best. The wisdom of the crowd.
But that's exactly why you give 10,000 to everyone. This is the opposite of social engineering.
No, it's a mass handout.
Yeah,
it's almost trying to you know, do what the Beatles said you couldn't do, which is to buy love. The government isn't going to buy people off and extinguish their wish for an accountable, democratically elected government by chucking money at them. And that's what Regina Ip seems to think is possible. She said it would buy
happiness. Works in Macau, doesn't it?
I think Macau, they'll take the money. But if you asked people whether they would still like democracy there.
Let me put it like that.
They would like democracy.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Bowen has an email on that topic. He says, "Dear Backchat, the debate is quite clear. The expenditure spree is motivated by the need of the government to placate. The need to placate, in Hong Kong's case, is caused by the extreme folly of the government's decision to push ahead with the extradition bill and its subsequent actions. Chen Yang Chong's argument is that the governments all over the world spend money to woo voters, but that's different from spending money to reduce the anger of the people stoked by governmental incompetence and intransigence. David Webb has had a walkover over Chen Yang Chong." Mr. Chan, what do you make of that? You know, is this the government just trying to make up for its own mistakes, not just kind of please people, but trying to make up for serious errors that it's made?
That's what we are trying to talk about this morning. I think we should concentrate on the government spending. I am not interested on discussing other matters, like the government making mistakes and all others. Yeah.
But, I mean, you said that this would make people happy. This is a way to keep people happy.
Government making mistake or no mistake, all government will try to make people happy in order to support the government.
Okay, here's a thought from...
Especially during the election year.
All right, JR says...
So it's nothing to do with the past. Government doing right or wrong... mistake or no mistake, as long as if the government have the money, they can control the money, they have enough money to spend, and spend it. Simple.
Okay, JR says in an email, 10K should be raised to something a bit more meaningful than an economy class ticket to London. Let it go to at least 20,000, so there should be a bit of spending money once you get to London. On top of that, the ridiculous amount of money proposed for the Lantau Reclamation Developer Money Grab project could be targeted to create genuine industry other than finance and insurance and property related. Simple example is food products. Mainland China doesn't trust a lot of the food products there, especially anything processed or tinned or whatever. This could be a good location for that. The problem is that new startups don't get a look in as the bigger companies, who seem to be always owned by the same old, even bigger companies, don't get a chance. The current young generation see no hope, and so they look to the future as being a bleak place with nothing for them in it. Reduce the effective monopolization of various economic sectors and let normal people have an assisted change to build a future. After all, it's the government that's giving the big monopolies and oligopolies the big assist to continue to kill Hong Kong indirectly through massive rentals. Germany and Singapore have successful, stable rental controls. Why not Hong Kong? As someone once said not too many decades ago, it's the economy, stupid. Stop the 97 or so individuals from producing 87% of Hong Kong GDP and cap it at 50%. It ain't healthy. That comes from JR. Interesting observations there. But, Mr. Chan, what about the idea of making it larger? If you really want to make a difference, make it 20,000. How about that?
If we want to compare with other countries, like compare with Singapore, there will be another big issue. Yeah. why Singapore can be better than Hong Kong? There are many reasons. It's not a simple thing to discuss that how to spending the money. And if we talk about the tax, actually Singapore tax is higher than Hong Kong, and also Singapore have this what they call GST, good and service tax, at Hong Kong no. So that means that Hong Kong government making less money than Singapore from the tax, and that is why that many people say that in Hong Kong, selling the land is another kind of tax, and that I agree. You see, and that's why in the past few years, the Hong Kong government have a surplus, and because of selling the land, but selling the land, why the property price go up? And so that's another issue. It's not Hong Kong government want to control the land supply. Actually, there are many reasons that the land supply cannot reach the demand. Not because of government want to control and don't want to reduce. Yeah, because they are, for example, when Hong Kong government say, okay, I want to increase the land supply, and there are many people say no. So that's a political issue. In Singapore, less political issue as compared with Hong Kong. In Singapore, government say, okay, I want to do this, they do it. Land reclaim, okay, simple. Just do it every day. But in Hong Kong, it's so difficult.
We go back to the 10,000.
So that's a political issue. It's not how to spend money.
Let's go back to the 10,000. I think that you know, when the political parties talk about 10,000, it seems like the political parties like people to spend more. But if we give it to the children as well, and the parents can be their guardians and use that money to develop the kid, wouldn't that be good as well? The 10,000 should also reach children.
Why not? I will not say no. As long as if the government is able to spend it, and just spend it. If the government think that, okay, not only for the adult and for everybody, so the children, okay, everybody, anyone from Hong Kong, all the permanent residents in Hong Kong can get the money, and for those who live in Hong Kong, not for those who live in Canada.
And then what's next? Can we also say no to the revamp of the Ocean Park? We can save some money there. The Ocean Park, the theme parks are outdated.
Just how I always listen to me, just how I say that. Any money government spending is good for economics.
Well, why not close Ocean Park, save $10 billion, and sell the land for $100 billion?
That means that government spending money on Ocean Park is also a kind of spending. Government spending money is good for economies. Government spending
on anything
money
at all.
Means that someone will earn the money.
Well, you advocated digging holes earlier in
the
program.
Digging holes. The case.
That's also a good use of money.
Digging holes. You see, government can ask people to dig the hole and then ask enough people to cover back the hole.
Okay. All right. Well, we were on to another topic now.
Also, like, for example, somebody had
somebody to report on it.
Yeah. You can throw the money from helicopter.
And make a whole app, okay. The scope for economic.
Why don't we put all the money into a pot and start and have a big lottery?
Many people say, okay, I need the money, so government try to spend the money.
Well, we do have a lottery.
Why don't we create some new billionaires and see if they can take over?
It's not the wrong thing. Increase the administrative cost for issue the 10,000 is a good thing. To me, the administrative cost means that government spend extra money for somebody, especially now the unemployment rate increased, you see, more people unemployed, and so government spending money to hire somebody to do a temporary job. Why not?
Okay, this is why I never understand economics.
Yeah, that's
my problem. All right.
Yeah, that's not economics, that's just madness.
Tries to spend money.
Okay.
And including tech cuts. I also support tech cuts, you see? Okay, they'll cut the tax. And to me, personally, I would say that cutting the tax, I think, will be much better than $10,000.
Okay. Well, I think you agreed on that then. Anyway, okay, some comments to finish off. Graham in an email says, handouts will not build more homes or employ more doctors. We need to spend heavily and wisely on those pillars like health, welfare, education, judiciary and civil service, all of which have been eroded by 20 years of maladministration, despite the promise of better times under the blueprint of the basic law. That comes from Graham. Philippe says, the SAR has abundant savings. Hong Kong society numbers less than 8 million individuals, 3 million households. Of all the governments in the world, the SAR government has the best foundation to invest resources in targeted enterprise and projects to foster economic development in the SAR in the long term. Instituting a cash distribution, which results in a short-term economic boost, would be yet another shameful abdication of responsibility by an unprincipled government. The people of Hong Kong deserve better. That comes from Philippe. And Jay says, I'd like the government to have more money than sense and can wait for everything. The poor actually do need to pay bills and eat. If we don't pay the bills, we get into deeper debt and we have more problems. Once you have a hole, it's very difficult to dig yourself out. Thank you very much indeed for all those many comments this morning. Oh, one more from Bowen, who says, Chen Yan Chong's answer betrays a Singaporean sensitivity to criticising the government, which, as we all know, is banned in the city-state. The political need to please may be universal, but arguably it's the blatancy and extremity that distinguish the case under discussion this morning. That's an observation from Bowen. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you to Chen Yan Chong, adjunct professor in the Department of Management Science at City University, and David Webb, editor of website.com. Thank you very much indeed for joining us today.